Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The reading today is probably the first reading I ever memorized in the Bible. Not the whole thing. I'm not that good. I'm actually far from that good at memorizing. But there's a song that I remember as a kid. I think I've shared it with you a long time ago. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Yeah, it's a kid's song, so that's why you have to say yeah. I have it in my office. If you go in my office on the wall, I don't have a lot of stuff up there because I just am not artistic like that. Tavin got it all from Sarah. But you will see a couple things on my wall, and two things you will see are two framed biblical verses with pretty images on them. One given to me by my internship congregations out in Bucyrus and Nevada, Ohio. And one given to me by my home congregation when I was ordained. And in both cases, they chose those same verses to put on those plaques. So even though it's the same verse, I don't mind, because both of those things are very special to me. They have, you know, important meaning from where they came from. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. It seems so simple. It's so straightforward. I think I've told you before that when I'm standing up here in the front, I can see everybody's facial expressions. I couldn't if I took my glasses off. So if I'm really worried about how things will go, you'll see me take this off, and then I have no idea what your responses are. But when I have the glasses on, I can see pretty well. And so sometimes I'll say something, and I'll see someone just kind of be like, well, duh, that was obvious. And I feel like when you say something like, well, let us love one another, that's kind of one of those, well, duh, that's obvious kind of moments. But that's not how people always seem to behave, is it? Beloved, let us love one another. Every day, I don't think I'm even exaggerating when I say this, every day I see or I hear or I experience examples of self-professed Christians who justify not loving or not caring for their neighbor. Sometimes in small ways, sometimes in big ways. Now, the reading today keeps talking about brothers and sisters. I'm going to veer away from that and talk about neighbor language. And the reason I'm doing that is because of the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. But also because if we were to look back at the Greek, when it says brothers and sisters, or literally in the Greek brothers, it's not talking about biological, it's talking about community. I know I just spoke very quickly, but most of you got the gist. But we oftentimes do a good job of ignoring or not caring for or not loving or not humanizing our neighbors. You walk down the street, you see that guy sitting on the side, this little sign, this little cup. Ah, lazy bum. Get a job. Clean yourself up. Have some respect. Have some self-pride, man. Come on. Just gonna lay out there. You're just gonna go mooch off the government, aren't you? Little moocher. Mooch. Side note, at the risk of offending anybody, I always find it really ironic when someone who is collecting either Social Security or Medicare complains about someone getting any form of financial aid from the government. Irony. Because when you look at that guy on the street, you don't know his history. You don't know his background. There are a lot of people lying on the street who have worked. Right now, I know of a couple people living in cars in this area who are working. Did you notice that sentence? Living in cars in this area who are working. But it's so easy to dehumanize them, to just say, bah, worthless bum. Get out of the way. You smell bad. Have you heard about the stuff going on over in the Middle East? There's always stuff going on in the Middle East, let's be honest. Fighting and killing in Gaza, in Syria. Ah, whatever. Let them blow each other up. We're all Muslim anyway, whatever. The vast majority of people who are dying in those conflicts are civilians. They're not armed combatants. They are innocent bystanders being blown to pieces or dismembered. The fact that they are in the wrong place at the wrong time, they can't do a darn thing about it. And what kind of Christian would look at that and say, whatever, who cares? Sometimes we don't just benignly neglect or minimize our neighbor. Sometimes we actively act out to try and hurt our neighbor. Right now, there are armed civilian militias on their way to the border to protect us from the invading hordes from the south. Gotta keep them out of here. We don't want them coming up this way. No one goes to the northern border. Have you noticed that? They don't. I have friends whose ancestors, and by ancestors I mean they came over in the 50s, actually crossed, quote unquote, illegally from Canada. But they spoke English and they were white, so nobody cares. And if that was a little too honest, so be it. Maybe if we do not love our neighbor out of love alone, we can at least do it out of our human need to be selfish and our human need to protect our own self-interest. That guy sleeping on the street? Every study that has ever been done, and I'm not exaggerating because I spent part of this week reading some of them, every study that has ever been done on homelessness has demonstrated that if you focus on keeping people fed and housed, and keeping them trained so they can get a job, it costs less to society than letting them sleep on the street. It reduces crime. It reduces drug problems. It reduces ER visits, which is more efficient for our healthcare, which helps all of us. And every study that's ever been done has shown that. So selfishly, we should care that those people are in that situation. And selfishly, when kids lose parents and when parents lose kids in fighting, again, I'm talking back to the Middle East thing, what happens? They get angry. It builds hatred. They lash out. They lash out whoever they blame for what has happened. Whether they're right or wrong about who they blame, that is what happens. And selfishly, we should not want to encourage that kind of hatred. Even if we don't care, even if we can't get ourselves to care about them as people, we should at least be capable of that base level of human selfishness of saying, hey, this is going to come back and bite us. And hey, it has. And regardless of whatever you think, and I know right now some of you are thinking, oh, Pastor's getting political. I can't help it. It was the reading today. Love, it happens. I never come into the reading saying, this is what I'm going to do. I come out of the reading saying, this is what I have to do. And whatever you think about all of that stuff, the border conversation, there are drug wars going on in Central America. There are corrupt governments, and there's violence, and there's insane levels of poverty, and people living literally on trash. Children picking through trash dumps, mountains of litter, looking for food and stuff to sell for pennies. And the weapons that they use, that the gangs use to do that violence, those weapons come from here. And the money they use to pay for those weapons comes from drugs sold here. And the poverty is helped along by corporations that are making cheap crap for us here. And selfishly, if we really don't want them to come up, that isn't going to happen until where they're coming from is a little bit better. Even if you don't want to care about them as people, you should at least recognize that. No one hops into the back of a container truck so they can be carted by a smuggler through the deserts of Western Texas and possibly die along the way, or if they're really lucky, come out of it and spend the next 3 to 5 years as indentured servants to their smuggler. Nobody does that because they wanted an adventure. Nobody does that because the place they came from was so awesome. You know what? This is great where I am, but I want to go do that. That sounds fun. And then if I'm really lucky, when I get to the States, I can pick fruit or work in a meatpacking plant or be a day laborer at Home Depot. No one does that because they're coming from a good place. And even if we don't care about them as people, selfishly, we should recognize they're not going to stop coming as long as where they're coming from sucks. Pardon me. You ever heard of the butterfly effect? It's basically the idea of a butterfly flapping its wings in one place and changing the weather somewhere else. The ripple effect, if you will. Obviously, butterfly, one single butterfly flapping doesn't do that. But God's creation is connected. God's creation is very, very connected. We see that in the scripture left and right. Jesus talks about it all the time. God's creation is connected. We human beings are a part of that creation. So why would anyone ever expect to operate outside of it? We can't. We're a part of it. God made it all, and that includes us. And like it or not, that means we're connected to the rest of it. When my brother or my sister elsewhere suffers, a part of me suffers. And even if it doesn't suffer because of empathy, at some point it will suffer because we are connected. The idea that we are separate from each other, that what happens elsewhere is not relevant here, is a lie. It is a scam. It is the sort of falsehood that the devil uses. The devil uses when he wants to tempt someone to put themselves first. Remember the temptations of Christ, the Gospels? What does he say to Jesus? Turn these stones into bread. Feed yourself. Focus on yourself first. He takes him up to the top of the temple and says, throw yourself off. The angels will lift you up. Think about your own power. He takes him to the mountain and shows him the world and says, I will give you all of this if you worship me. Think of what you could have, Jesus. It's what the devil does. It's the biggest flaw in human beings, our own selfish nature. At the same time, like I said, even if we can't get ourselves to get past that, we should at least selfishly recognize the advantages that happen when we love and care for our neighbor. Each of those things the devil did, they're each an example of appealing to Christ's humanity. Put yourself first. Resources are limited. This is not a world of abundance. Forget what your father said. This is not a world of abundance, it's a world of scarcity. Get your own, Jesus. Save yourself. And to that lie, God says, no, I love you so much that even my own son I will give to you. Even my own son I will sacrifice. Beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another when it is easy. Let's do it when it's convenient. And if you can't, just aim for tolerating at least. But you know, even that can be tough. So if you could just keep yourself to just doing harmful words, not harmful actions, just harmful words alone. How about that? Can the bar come down? If you can't do the love, let's just harmful words alone. Because everyone who loves is born of God and loves God, unless you object to their way of loving, in which case, nah, the heck with them. Take care of your own. Protect your own. Protect your own tribe, your own people. As Christians, those words should not sound familiar to us. As Christians, those words should bounce off of us and be rejected. And yet they are worse than familiar. There are people who preach them in Christ's name from pulpits. And there are people who proclaim them in news, in print, TV. And there are people who share it over the water cooler and then come to worship on a Sunday. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent us that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loves us so much, we also ought to love one another. That part about sacrificing for our sins is crucial. Because those sins, especially the sin of omission for love of another, is way too prevalent. And if you think the finger is only being pointed out right now, I assure you I convict myself of that just as much. Any of you ever heard of Stephen Colbert? Yeah. He's a comedian. Some people love him, some don't. I really love something he said a few years back. Stephen Colbert, in his real life, is a devout Roman Catholic. He teaches Sunday school, which I think must be an incredible experience for the kids. Worships regularly. Takes his kids to Mass. And a while back, he made this observation. He said, if this is going to be a Christian nation that does not help the poor, either we have to pretend that Jesus was just as selfish as we are, or we've got to acknowledge that He commanded us to love the poor and serve the needy without condition, wherever they are, and then admit that we just don't want to. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, in a world of brokenness and greed, You have sent Your Son. You have shown us a better way. You have shown us a way of truth and hope and love and support. We ask You this day and always to keep us mindful of that, to help us to live lives that reflect Your promise, to help us live lives that are aware of Your love for all, to help us live into the name we claim as Christians, as followers and disciples of Your Son, Jesus the Christ. We pray this knowing that even when we stumble and fail, we have hope and we have forgiveness. We pray this knowing that through You all things are possible. We pray this trusting in You and in Your love. And in Your most holy, good, and gracious name, we say, Amen.